Bibles. You may be turning this morning, if you would, to the Gospel of John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1. And here we are, just a month from what we call Easter or Resurrection Sunday. And it couldn't help but just preach some messages about Jesus. About Jesus. Please stand with me and we'll begin reading in John chapter 1 and verse 29. John 1 verse 29. Again, this is the ministry of John the Baptist. It says, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Verse 30 says, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Then continuing in verse 35, it says, and again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Amen. Father, again, we bow before you this morning. Lord, we understand we need you. We've gathered in this place in vain unless you be pleased to grant us your presence and your Spirit, that we might glean, that we might hear from you. That, Father, we would receive your truth to our heart of hearts. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us in this room. Lord, I pray for all that are saved, all that know Jesus as their Savior. I pray that indeed we'd go from this place rejoicing and worshiping him. But I pray as well for those who may be here today and don't have that peace, don't have that confidence, that they know you. They know that the salvation of grace through faith, through your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray that even today they might see him. That you'd speak to their hearts. That you, Lord, would draw them savingly, graciously, beautifully to yourself. And we will be quick to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen, of course, may be seated. John declares some tremendous things about Jesus in these verses. John, he's been anticipating this moment for a long time. For a long time. He knew what his mission was, what his ministry was to be. He knew that he was to be the one to introduce the Lamb of God to this world. He knew what his mission was indeed. What is John's message to us? How does this message here today change anything or impact us here on this day in our lives? I believe it does indeed. And we see here some tremendous things, as we said. But John saw Jesus. John saw Jesus, the Lamb of God. Now, how many witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ as he approached John there? Look at verse 28 with me. It says, these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. How many witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ approach the crowd that day? approach those that had gathered there. It says beyond Jordan. It would be on the east bank of Jordan, what is commonly the country of Jordan now, as it borders that east coastline of east shore of the Jordan River. But John saw different. John saw different than all the rest. Now, it's interesting to note, this is the first appearance of Jesus in the Gospel of John. He's certainly talked about in the previous verses. He was predicted in those previous verses. John himself, in the days, weeks, months before, was questioned about this event. Now, it's interesting that in verse 19 of John 1, it says, "This is the record of John," again, introducing that ministry, "when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?'" Of course, John baptizing out there at the Jordan River. And the news is getting back to the religious leaders back in Jerusalem. So they sent priests, they sent Levites from the city to find out who this was. In verse 20, it says, "He confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' They asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' He said, 'I am not. Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.'" Well, I'm going to stop there. We'll see a little bit more in a moment here. John was questioned if he was the Christ. Are you the Messiah? Are you that sent one? Well, he was indeed sent, but he was not the Messiah, as he made that very clear. I am not the Christ. He goes on to say, "This is the man, the man." Now, again, forgive me here. Sometimes technology is not what you would like it to be. All right. Well, he saw this man. I'm going to have to do a little repair work here. He saw him. He, as he approached, of course, and as he saw him, the man, he declared him what? To be the Lamb of God. Amen. The Lamb of God. Now, it's important for us to understand what that means. Now, those Jews there understood what it meant. They understood what John was talking about. But for us to get the picture, we need to go back to the book of Exodus, to the Exodus. And chapter 12, in Exodus chapter 12, and let's pick up in verse 3. Now, again, understand, the children of Israel, the Hebrews, are still captives there in Egypt. Moses, of course, is called and sent back to Egypt to deliver them from their bondage to the Egyptians. And it says in verse 3, as all those plagues have been poured out upon Egypt, and as Pharaoh and the leaders of Egypt continue to deny permission for the Hebrews to leave, well, it came to that ultimate test. And it says in verse 3, speaking unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto the house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for a lamb. Now, again, if it was a small household, you were to unite with your neighbor. And it was essentially, you was to consider who would be necessary to fulfill the consumption of this lamb. Who would be necessary? What goes on in the passage, though, Your lamb, in verse 5, shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And he shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Wow. Wow, indeed. What an impact. What a story. What a tremendous, tremendous picture of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. On that eve, as we said, of the Hebrews' deliverance from Egypt, every household was to select a male lamb that was without blemish, no imperfection whatsoever. That perfect lamb would be slain for those that resided in the house. The lamb itself was to be consumed and received by those that resided there in the house. The lamb, oh my, the lamb's blood was to be shed for all that were present there in the house. My, my, my. And again, forgive me, I am having a fit here. Isn't it wonderful when technology fails us? I think it's my internet connection, actually. That lamb becomes this beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he, of course, is that lamb, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. And that lamb, as we noticed, was roasted in the fire. And our Lord Jesus Christ went through the fires of tribulation, went through the fires of trial for us. He endured temptation on our behalf. And when the day came, he laid down his life for us. And all that receive him, all that, in that sense, consume him, the wrath of God passes over them. Indeed, he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Going back to our passage there in John chapter 1, we see it says, "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a lamb." Excuse me, a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. That word preferred there has a kind of a twofold meaning. John understood that lamb was superior to him. He made clear he was not that lamb that would take away the sin of the world, not the Messiah. He was preferred before me. He says, for he was before me. It's interesting, isn't it? Well, let me go back You know, we understand dear John. What a wonderful ministry he had. I've often called him God's divine bulldozer. He was that one that made straight the way. As we go back in this passage that we read earlier, it says in verse 21, and they asked him, "What then, art thou Elias?" He said, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" He answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah," or Isaiah in the Greek. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that the Christ or Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom thou knowest not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose." Yes, John understood that he was, that Jesus, this Lamb, was far, far superior to him. But he also made the statement, "And he was before me." And I was thinking about that. Indeed, are you mindful? Are you mindful that John was approximately 6 months older than the Lord Jesus Christ? Approximately 6 months older. And are you mindful of that day that Mary, having just conceived of the Holy Spirit of God, and she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And what happened as she entered the house? Elizabeth, now at this point, 6 months pregnant with John in her womb. Remember what happened? As Mary came into the room, into Elizabeth's presence, the babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb. Oh, yes. John, even then, unborn in his mother's womb. What a message for the fools, the liberals of our day. Huh? That life carried in Mary's womb, just conceived. And the life, the child in Elizabeth's womb. They had a moment, if you will. He's preferred before me. Because he was before me. Indeed. Amen. We go on. We see here. And it's interesting. He says, "I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water." Yes, John, evidently, this is the very next time that John is in Jesus' presence. He didn't recognize the human Jesus except for the presence and working of the Holy Spirit in John. What does it say? "I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water." John bear record saying, "I saw the Spirit." Listen, you hear that? "I saw the Spirit," capital S, Holy Spirit, "descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." "I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same," speaking of God the Father, "said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." John was given insight. He was given a vision, if you will, eyesight to see what no one else saw. That this indeed was the Christ. This indeed was that one that he had come to prepare the way for. He wanted all Israel to know, as it says in verse 31, that he should be made manifest to Israel. "I've come baptizing with water." Jesus made his way to Jordan to be baptized of John. Remember, John protested. He says, I should be baptized of you, not the other way around. But Jesus said, suffer it to be so for now, that righteousness should be fulfilled. Huh? What a picture there. Twofold, important. The Lord Jesus Christ goes to John to be baptized. Jesus went to John. What was John baptizing? Who was he baptizing? Those that had repented. Sinners. Jesus went to be baptized of John that he could... This is beautiful. So that he could identify with sinners. Not that he was a sinner. That righteousness should be fulfilled. You and I are baptized that we identify with the righteous one. With the Lord Jesus Christ. Be mindful. As Jesus went to John and went down into the river with him. And John, just as we do today, lowered the Lord Jesus Christ beneath those waters of the River Jordan, signifying what? What was going to happen. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his burial. But he didn't keep him under the water. He raised him again from the dead. And just as we baptize folks, when we lower them beneath the waters of baptism, we declare, buried what? In the likeness of his death. And as they come up out of the water, is raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Just as Jesus identified with us in his baptism, we identify with him in our baptism. Difference between John's baptism and our baptism was that we are baptized as not just repentant sinners, but redeemed sinners. Baptism, the waters of baptism do not cleanse away sin. You can dive in that baptistry. You can swim around that baptistry. You can soak in that baptistry all day long. It is not going to wash away a single sin. The blood, the blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses from sin. So important. John came, essentially pointing forward as those ones that came to him, repentant over sin, were baptized in lieu of what was going to happen. You and I are baptized in memory of what did happen. Hallelujah. And hallelujah, as my preacher in Georgia used to say. But he goes on in verse 32. John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. Knew him not. But again, he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same, that one, is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. John baptized with water. The Lord Jesus Christ baptizes with the Holy Spirit of God. The whole Trinity is involved in this passage. The whole Trinity is involved with what's going on here. Who did John say sent him? God the Father sent John. God the Holy Spirit came and rested upon this one that John declared, hey, in verse 34, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. God the Father present, sending John the Baptist. God the Holy Spirit present, descending on who? The Son of God. Wow. Tell that to those that deny the triune God that we serve. This one we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. This one we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. we're also familiar that while Jesus walked this earth planet, He started that first church. That first church of the disciples and those others that followed after the resurrection and the Lord Jesus Christ, and as the disciples were there in Jerusalem on the eve of Pentecost. They were there in the upper room. How many? 120. The membership roll of that first church. That church then, on the day of Pentecost, as they spilled out into the street what the Holy Spirit of God had been given to that first church. They were baptized in the Spirit, immersed in the Holy Spirit of God, if you will. We receive the Spirit of Christ, but we're also immersed in the Spirit of Christ. Wow, He baptizes with the Spirit. Wow. It says in verse 34, we see, beloved, that this one must be declared. He must be manifested. He must be declared, must be made known. What's it say in verse 31, it says, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. And then in verse 34, it says, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. My responsibility, your responsibility is to make this one known. John came with that mission to point the way to Jesus. He was the one, as we said earlier, introduced Jesus Christ to the world. Wow, that's quite a ministry. Quite a ministry indeed. But it's the exact same ministry you and I have. We have a ministry of introducing Jesus Christ to this world. Just as John says, bear record that this is the Son of God, you and I are here to bear record that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's interesting. It's interesting, isn't it? John wasn't the only one that declared that Jesus was the Son of God. I mean, he declared it right here at the beginning. But be mindful, wasn't that an issue on and on through Jesus' earthly ministry, those three and a half years? Constantly, the scribes and the Pharisees, the priests, were challenging him concerning who he was. John declared who he was. Are you mindful that night on the Sea of Galilee when the disciples, the storm's blowing and the waves are crashing on the ship, and they wake Jesus in frantic and need. And Jesus calmed the sea. And what was their declaration? Indeed, thou art the Son of God. Nathanael, I think it was Nathanael, he made the same declaration. Thou art the Son of God. And even the devil, even Satan himself, with a slur in his mouth, on the mountain, in the wilderness during that time of temptation, if thou be the Son of God, he knew who Jesus was. He knew exactly. That's why the whole thing, the whole temptation was taking place. God had permitted Satan to do his worst. If thou be the Son of God. There is no question who Jesus was. No question. Unless you had reason to question. Scribes and the Pharisees, that whole crowd, they didn't want to accept Jesus for who he was. They wanted as best they could to nullify him, to reject him, to get him out of the way. They thought they finally did, didn't they? No. They did not want to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And do we not face the same thing today? There's no doubt who Jesus is. Even the historians recorded these events. But we live in a world that wants to what? Reject Him, nullify Him, silence Him. Why? Because of their own ulterior motives. Be mindful. Be mindful that if the world accepts who Jesus is, what does that mean for them? What does it mean? If they would accept that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it would mean that they would be required to bend the knee to Him. They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that, so what do? They do their best to erase Him, to do away with Him, to nullify Him. I was hearing this morning how in Canada, Brother DJ was sharing in the prayer room how there's a preacher, I think his last name is Coates, he's locked up in Canada because their church would dare have church. You say, well, preacher, what's that have to do with what you're talking about? They'll use any excuse they can to shut you up. Yeah, I'm thankful I live in Texas. I wasn't born here. But what's the old saying? There you go. Took me 50 years to get here, but I got here. I'm thankful. But we got our own problems around here too. Hey, by the way, I think it was Miss Alicia put on Facebook that Walmart had the masks on the clearance rack. What's that mean? You know, the governor's setting us free, but as I hate to say it, but as Walmart goes, yeah, we'll see what that means. Jesus is the Son of God. Whether the world wants to admit it or not, whether they want to acknowledge Him for who He is or not, Jesus is the Son of God. And we're here to bear record of Him. It's a mission, beloved. It's our cause. Every time I think of that, I'm reminded that why else would God leave us here? That moment when we received Him, He could have just taken us to glory. Hallelujah again. That'd be wonderful. But no. God ordained that we would remain here. Not to live the fat and sassy life, but to be those messengers of our Savior. Our message. We have a cause. We have a purpose. We have a mission, just like John's mission, to proclaim and point to Jesus. To point to the Son of God. Oh, it's so easy. It's so easy to get diverted into other things. I'll speak for myself. You know, most of y'all know I'm a news junkie. Although, I've been trying to wean myself off of it. I mean, it's so distressing these days. Be very easy to me, but get it caught up in all the political action. Temptation. Some preachers find themselves doing that. Their message is their mission, the ministry, and message ends up being a political thing. I don't want to go there. I've got a higher calling. Even on the mission field, there's that temptation when you get to when our missionaries get to the field and there's so much need. homeless children, starving, hungry people, and so much going on that their primary mission is what? Preach Jesus. Preach Christ. We're not here to cure the social needs of our society, of our community. We are here to preach Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. Why? Because it's the only thing that's going to change this world in which we live. It's the only... Hey, I don't know about you. I thought I was going to get myself to heaven. Anybody have that problem before they got saved? I mean, I saw all these, you know, my father-in-law was praying for my soul, and praise of God for him. So thankful for him. Folks were witnessing to me and telling me I understand, man, something needs to happen. I knew I was a mess. So I don't even know. You know, I'm so hesitant here because I don't want to give the devil glory about anything. But I got rid of the tobacco, and I got rid of all kinds of tobacco, but got rid of all that. What am I trying to fix things up? Trying to clean up my act. Emptied the stuff out of my refrigerator that shouldn't be there. I even started going to church.
Man.
I wrote a tract about it years later. How a good guy got saved. It's not a... Being good isn't how we get to heaven.
That's right.
Because we understand that the Bible declares there's none good, no, not one. We all need who? The Son of God. The Lamb. The Lamb of God. Yeah, I thought I was going to get there. I'll get all this stuff cleaned up in my life, and I'll make myself worthy. Well, that didn't work out too good. You know, it's like the old saying to turn over a new leaf. Well, you know what's underneath that new leaf? The same rotten old junk. No, there had to be a change. From the inside out, not from the outside in. And the only one that can make that change is the Lamb of God, the Son of God. So we preach Jesus. We preach Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this divine one that you sent. Oh my. John the Baptist. It's always such a fascinating figure. I remember preaching a whole series of messages on him some years ago, right here from this pulpit. Fascinating. He was that one that was kind of in the middle between the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament prophets. And he had the beautiful, special ministry. To point. Can you imagine the day? You ever do that? You ever put yourself on the scene of these Bible events? Now, y'all looking at me like I'm some kind of a nut. I figured you'd say amen. But I'm there at the Jordan River. I remember when we were in Israel, we stopped there at the Jordan River, and I've got some pictures of Marcia standing in that water, and it's funny, on the Israel side, they've got all this set up for folks to get baptized there. And then you look across the river, and there the river's not as wide as from here to the map. And on the other side, on the Jordan nation, the Jordan side, there's folks over there all set up to baptize. You know, everybody wants to cash in on the tourists. Now, put myself in that scene, even this morning, early this morning as I was studying. You get rid of all that paraphernalia that they put up there for the tourists, and you just try to picture what it was like. Folks would have made their way down to the river. John. John was probably standing in the river and people coming to him, taking their turn to be baptized. And somewhere along the line, John looks up and he sees this one approaching. There's no disciples at this point, just Jesus. And he sees this one approaching. And I don't know, this is just me, okay? Because I don't know. But I just got this idea in my mind that John was one of those old gravelly voice preachers. You know, you hear them. And I can just picture John in my mind's eye, look up and see. He may have somebody in his arms as he says it. And he looks up and sees, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your only begotten Son. Amen. Thank you for this one sent of you, announced by John. Ordained by the Holy Spirit. Oh God, please enlarge our hearts today. Pray for my own heart. Lord, we are so grateful, so thankful for that day when we recognized the Lamb of God. So grateful, so thankful. And you stirred in our hearts, making real to us our need of your Lamb. So thankful, Lord, for the blood that paid the price of my sin, of our sin. Lord, I'm asking you, in Jesus' name, fill us with yourself today. Lord, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit of God, but I confess there's so often I'm not walking in that fullness, not living in that fullness. Thank you, Lord. Oh God, thank you for Jesus. And Lord, I pray for that one, maybe several in this room right now, a young person, an adult, a man, a woman. The Lord, if they had to answer your question to them, "Do you know me? Do they know your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ?" Oh God, I pray. Lord, I pray that you'd make yourself real to them. Make their need real to them. Lord, your word promises that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray, Father, right now, as the music plays and the quietness of the moment, they call out to you. Call upon your Son to forgive them of their sin, wash them in His own blood, and fill them with His Spirit. Oh God, please, work in hearts, work in lives. We pray it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 157.
Amen. Is there a need in your heart today? You can join these ones in the altar. If you're here today as we prayed and realized, recognized that, "Preacher, I need to get saved. I need Jesus. I need a desire, that peace in my heart that I know Jesus is my Savior, to know where you'll spend eternity." If there's any question, any doubt, please come. Take take this preacher by the hand and say, Pastor, I just want to know I'm saved. Just want to know where I'll spend eternity. Please, please come. Obey what the Lord is saying to you as we sing.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Washed, cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. Huh? Isn't that an amazing thing? I remember when I first started hearing about this. I mean, you know, my mama always had that box of Tide in there on the washing machine. And, you know, she'd fuss with us. We'd come in with our pants all stained up with the grass stains and who else we got into during the day. What have you boys been doing? And she'd soak that stuff. And when I started hearing about how does blood clean? I mean, we'd come in with blood stains on us. But the marvelous, miraculous work of the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse from sin. Behold, what? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Brother John, come. Amen. Amen.
Lesson today in Children's Church was on that Lamb of God, that about the Passover and the foreshadowing that was of Christ and what He did for us. Amen. It's amazing how God works all that out. Let's sing our chorus for the month. It's The Lord is Good. If you need the words, it's up on the screen. or not. 263 is the page number. The Lord is good.
The Lord is good.